Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Now, changing the polarized way people talk about the Middle East and reintroducing the word peace on both sides. We have two guests, one a Jewish Israeli, the other a Palestinian Israeli, from the group called Standing Together, which says they, quote, organize Jews and Arabs locally and nationally around campaigns for peace. In Israel, they organize around both Israel-Palestine issues and economic ones like the minimum wage and gentrification. And when leaders of Standing Together came to the United States for one speaking tour in the fall, largely on college campuses, they found what they called a different kind of war zone, marked, as one of the guests we're about to meet was quoted saying, by, quote, very theorized discussions about who is more righteous. So let's take it from there with them to talk about the situation over there and the situation over here. Joining us now, Rula Daoud and Alon Lee Green, national co-directors of Standing Together. Alon Lee is a Jewish citizen of Israel. Rula is a Palestinian citizen of Israel. Thank you for making this one of your stops. Welcome both of you to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Alon Lee, would you start and tell people more about the group and its mission?
Yeah, sure. So Standing Together is a Jewish-Palestinian grassroots movement operating within Israel to bring together people from across communities to work against this war for peace, against the occupation, and for equality to all the people that live on this land. We understand that this war is bringing us nothing but more sorrow and misery. And of course, the Palestinian people in Gaza are paying an unbearable, unfathomable price. You know, on normal days, we talk about peace, we talk about social justice, we talk about equality. But right now, we are in the most urgent moment in our lifetime. And in this moment, we call for a ceasefire agreement to stop the killing and the destruction in Gaza and to bring back the hostages home.
Rula, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think one of the main, our work comes from facts, from the lives, from our lives, from living in a society that has been shattered for so many years, but yet again understands a fact that from the place we come, from the land we come, that both of us call it home, we have 7 million Jews and we have 7 million Palestinians, and none of us are going anywhere. And it is about time to understand what kind of solutions do we make? What kind of leadership do we want to have a life for both sides that give Jews and Palestinians freedom, equality, peace, liberty, and independence? And I think that is one of the main things we are trying to bring and working for since, not just since the 7th of October, but mainly after the 7th of October, because all of us back home understand that the status quo cannot be maintained anymore. And we need solutions that will give both people the ability not just to survive, but also to live and to prosper in the land where we should, all of us, be equal.
And we'll get into what some of those solutions might be. But just by way of a little more background, Rula, do I see correctly that you and the other Palestinian leaders in your group are Palestinian citizens of Israel, not residents of the West Bank or Gaza?
Yes,
and
that
does
is
that
true.
Does that matter to the framing of your group?
I think it does, because in Israel today, you have 21% of the population is Palestinian. And if we go back in 1948, people who were displaced, people who fled, and some people, Palestinians, stayed in their lands. And we are today 21% of the population of Israel, and we have Israeli citizenship. We do face
discrimination.
Yeah, thank you. We do have a vast discrimination against us, but we are part of the Israeli society, and we are also part of the Palestinian people. Some of them living in Gaza, some of them living in the West Bank, and of course, the Palestinian diaspora.
So only this idea that Rula was just talking about, that here everybody is, 7 million Jews, 7 million Palestinians, roughly, in the greater area, and it's in everybody's interest to work together to figure out how everybody lives together instead of this constant war. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing. I want to ask how you try to pursue that mission in Israel, and then we'll get into your work in this country and your experiences here on college campuses and elsewhere, which seems so interesting in the U.S. context. So what are you doing in Israel, and how is it different than before October 7th?
So we organize. We try to understand how are we going to change this reality, and we understand that the majority of the people actually in Israel, both Palestinians and Jews, they have the interest to end this reality. They have the interest to live safely. They have the interest to live with equality. They have the interest to live without rockets flying above their heads or without running to shelters. And yes, they also have the interest not to send their children to Gaza to do the terrible things that we're doing in Gaza and to come back home traumatized. This is a self-interest of the Jews in Israel, and it's a self-interest of the Palestinians in Israel. So we try to organize around this interest while understanding that is a small minority in our society, people with genocidal calls, open calls to eradicate the Palestinians, to destroy Gaza, and we need to isolate them. But for that, we need power. And this is the reason we organize. We gather Palestinians and Jews all across the country. We build leaderships. We train our activists. We add members to our movement. We have thousands of members all across the country and tens of thousands of activists. We approach people on social media and we build a different kind of story. A story that we can, that says that we can all benefit from changing this reality, that we can all be living in a place that is finally prospering and finally putting the efforts on peaceful life instead of moving from one war to the other, instead of militarily controlling millions of people that are not the citizens of Israel but are controlled by the Israeli army. And this is not only an act of solidarity, which we do, but it's also an act of self-interest.
So that's on the Israeli side. And on the other side, a New York Times article on your group said your group has called Hamas, quote, the enemy of the Palestinian people and a fertilizer for radical Jewish extremism. That's a quote, as well as calling for an end to the occupation by the Israelis. So, Rula, is that quote accurate? They don't say that's by you as an individual, but they were quoting somebody from Standing Together, unnamed. And tell us more. In a polarized environment with so much pain and anger and blame on each side and now so much mass death and other suffering in Gaza, mm-hmm. how do you express your message as a Palestinian mm-hmm. to Hamas?
Well, the 7th of October and that day, the massacre that happened and everything that followed 5 months until this day, all we have seen is destruction, death, people losing their homes on both sides, unfathomable deaths in Gaza, starvation, hostages are still in captivity by Hamas. And that kind of reality is one that talks and says to all of us that the leadership or the ones that are responsible for what happened cannot stay in power. And I think that goes to both sides, to Hamas, who has been still the leadership in Gaza, and also to our government, to the Israeli government that we have right now, that since 2019 had called for a nonstop wars between Israel and Gaza. And when we look at this situation and we understand that the leadership that we have, whether we agree with that leadership or not, and we do not the one on the Israeli side, and of course not the one in Gaza, we understand that we need a change. We need a different leadership, and people must call out for a different leadership. Now, for us, as a grassroots movement that works inside of the Israeli society, before the 7th of October, people were out there demonstrating against the government. And I don't know if you know, but before the 7th of October, there was a survey in Gaza. And approximately 70% of the people, the Palestinians living in Gaza, said that they do not believe in Hamas. They don't take it as a leadership. They don't want Hamas to continue and be a leadership. So if that says anything to us, is that both people, most of the people living on both sides don't have any more trust in their leadership. And today, and especially after the 7th of October, after the massacre, after the killing and the bombing continuously by the Israeli army on the people living in Gaza, we know that both sides are not going to bring us any different reality, and both of them are not on the side of peace, and they are not friends of peace. And it is about it is time for all of us to understand and demand a different leadership. Now, for us in back in Israel, it's much it's a bit more easier to do that, because to ask people in Gaza right now who are starving with 70% of the infrastructure not there any yet and no buildings, it is a bit more harder to ask people to have anything different than to try and survive right now. But it's still, for us, the work is much harder and greater, because we need to demand and we need to work day after day to have a different leadership, to build a political will inside of our society to bring different solutions, and solutions that do benefit both of us on both sides.
Let me just reset here for our listeners who are just joining us and wondering, who are these people talking about peace? My guests are Alon Lee, a Jewish Israeli, and Rula Daoud, who is just speaking, a Palestinian Israeli from the group called Standing Together, which says they organize Jews and Arabs locally and nationally around campaigns for peace. In a minute, we'll get into what they've been hearing on college campuses in this country. But Alon Lee, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we understand that the two sides, Hamas and the Israeli extremist government, they feed each other, right? We understand that Israel has been only dealing with Hamas for a decade and a half, continuously ignoring the Palestinian Authority and weakening the Palestinian Authority and the moderates on the Palestinian side, strengthening Hamas again and again and again. And I guess they need each other. And we understand that the Messianics in our side, the Messianic extremists that lead the Israeli government, they want this eternal war, and they're really working to preserve it.
And listeners, hold your calls for a minute. I want to get through a little more of their material, because so many of you have never heard of them before, and then we'll take your questions for them. As for the United States, Alon Lee, I see that you and another of your co-leaders toured the U.S. in November and got written up in both the Washington Post and the New York Times, among elsewhere. The Washington Post headline was, Israeli peace activists tour U.S. campuses and find a, quote, new war zone. And the Post says you were jarred and put off by what you saw as a country, this country, obsessed with litmus tests. And that quote I cited in the intro, you said, we have a very theorized discussion about who is more righteous.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. So you're saying the Washington Post basically got that right? That's how you found American college campuses?
Yeah, most definitely. And believe me, it's not just the colleges. It's everywhere here. We see a polarized discussion that has ceased to be about the lives of people on the ground. It seems as if people care more about how they are portrayed, or, you know, to signal who they are and what they are, than to actually ask the question, how do we change this reality? How do we stop this war? How do we achieve a ceasefire? And it seems that if people would just ask this question, they would understand that maybe we should build coalitions. Mm-hmm. Maybe those coalitions should be wide. They should, you know, be of people that are coming from different ideological background. And we don't need to have tests of who's in the club, who's outside of the club. We don't need to have this checkbox of who's taking the right, you know, words and use the right terms. And it seems so tiring and just disappointing to see how people here care more about what words do you use than how are you actually, you know, trying or doing what you're doing to change this reality. And I think Standing Together comes here with the message that it's nice and maybe it feels good to condemn reality, but it's much more important to change reality.
Yeah. And so what do you do, Rula, at your American campus events?
Well, most of our events is to talk, first of all, to talk about our reality. How is it, what is really happening back home, the place we come from? Where are we now considering the Israeli society, what we can do, what's been happening inside of our politics, and kind of to show people, and mainly, I think, to educate people on our realities, because in many of these events, we see and we also hear that most people don't really understand where we are coming from. And just to give you a simple example, most people don't know that 21% of the citizens of Israel are Palestinians. And when we say that, it opens up a different discussion. It brings also different questions. Mainly what we are trying to do here is to give that background of what is happening back home and what do we see as people who live in Israel, Palestine, what kind of solutions we can bring and how do we really get to these solutions, but also to ask people to take action, to put pressure on the government, on your government in here, in a way that the government understands. The first thing is that you cannot continue to give a blank check to Israel. And we have woken up to different news today. And the second thing is to tell people that there is a big difference between the leadership we have on both sides and the people living in that land. The people living in Israel are not the Israeli government. And the people living in Gaza are not the leadership of Hamas. And I think that is a very huge distinction that people must do in order to understand how do we fight on from this point. And the real fight is about the lives of the people in Israel, Palestine, not against the people, because we are not our government.
So listeners, now we can open the phones for your questions for our guests from Standing Together, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We asked the people in your press office, by the way, earlier, what's a good question, given the work that you do to try to build coalitions that we might ask our listeners? And some of the language we got back was not a question per se, but a premise, that it's not helpful for folks to think it's one side versus the other. Both Israelis and Palestinians are not leaving the land, and take it from there. So listeners, let's try that, if you're willing, with that as the premise. How do they get from here to peace? Or anything you want to ask our guests from Standing Together about their work. Alon Lee Green and Rula Daoud, 212-433. WNYC 212-433-9692, call or text. Here's a text that has already come in. Rula, it says, I have looked on Standing Together's website. Mm-hmm. I could not find whether or not they are for a single state solution with majority rule or a two state solution. Mm-hmm. Could you ask them, please? So I'm asking.
Yeah, of course. My answer would be is, as a grassroots movement, our work is right now to build a political will, a political majority in the Israeli society that wants, first of all, this war to stop, that works for stopping this war, for agreements and political agreements. Inside of the Israeli society, and even back home in Israel, Palestine, there is no real discussion about one state or two state. That is not the main question people are asking right now. Why? Because our reality is very different. We are a time of, there's a war in Gaza, people are still dying, and there are hostages still captured by Hamas. So that is not a real question people really ask right now. And for us, the main thing to do as a grassroots movement is now to build a majority, a political will inside of the Israeli society to make a change towards a different outcome, to stopping this war. And as a grassroots movement, that is what we do. We do not draw lines on maps because that is not really our work. You know, there are many organizations, many people who have written, what kind of solutions do we have? One state, two state, and many people can sit down and argue about it. But the first thing we need right now, the main thing, is to have people around us taking into consideration and agreeing that the first step right now is to stop this war, to stop the aggression, and to understand how do we take on from this point. And that is what we do. And that is why you can find, you know, our idea, or should it be one state solution or two state solution, or what does the line go? And maybe just one more line about it. Our work building that political will is to make sure that when our leadership from the both sides sit down and start to speak about solutions, they understand that there are, you know, both people, Jews and Palestinian, and whatever solution they take will be fair to both sides. That is our work.
So, Alonly, picking up on that, and assuming you agree with everything that Rula just said.
I do.
How do you go from not talking yet about lines on a map or one state solution versus two state solution and dealing with the urgency of the immediate situation in Gaza to criticizing people on campus as too polarized or too concerned about litmus tests and ideological purity when they're demanding a ceasefire now?
Well, we need to look at the reality and really to start from there. Any other discussion that starts from terminology or ideologies or, you know, self description is interesting. You can write an essay about it and I might read it. But, you know, reality is back home and people are dying and there's bloodshed and there's destruction and starvation in Gaza. There are hostages that are held by Hamas. And I think that coming to even talking about one state, two states, we will be satisfied with any solution that stops the bloodsheds and gives equality, freedom, and independence to all the people that live on the land. You want to call it a two-state solution and one state? We will push our leadership to get into the room with the Palestinian leadership and to agree on an agreement, a diplomatic agreement that is okay with both sides. And this is our role. And some people will say, I'm not getting into the room to build a coalition with people that are two-staters. Some others will say, we're not getting in the room with people that are one-staters. Some will say the Zionists are not welcome or the anti-Zionists are not welcome. And this is a mistake. Right now, there's a reality we need to stop. And everyone that puts, you know, a threshold or like an entrance bar to who can be inside the coalition, who can be, who cannot enter the room, is just making themselves maybe feel very good, but they are not contributing to any kind of a solution. And everyone that wants to say that right now the problems are different from 14,000 children that are dying, that already died in Gaza, 31,000 Palestinians that died in Gaza, 70% of all the homes that are impacted or destroyed, and mass starvation on really on the brink of famine, everyone that wants to talk about something else, maybe the right of Israel to exist, maybe some ideologies, they are just part of the problem right now and not part of any solution.
Yes, but that was really my question. Given what you just said and where the urgency is right now, if you go onto a college campus and find a very polarized environment, but one of those polls is people saying, stop the killing, cease fire now, I don't care about all the details, just stop the killing right now, and then let's work it out. Of course, a lot of Israelis see that as, even if it's well-intentioned, emboldening Hamas too much to get ready for future October 7th. But why, given what you just said, would you say to the ceasefire movement on campus, no, you're too polarized, rather than just join them?
I would join this cause. I mean, I am for ceasefire now. I think it should be a ceasefire agreement that stops the killing and destruction in Gaza and that brings back all the hostages alive. And I think that, you know, those nuances, they matter. But every person that works right now to stop the ceasefire and is willing to cooperate with other people to call for ceasefire and willing to cooperate with others, that's a good thing, right? And we're not against it. And I think, you know, the polarization is not there. The polarization is around, you know, other questions that are talking about other issues that are not the destruction and killing that are happening right now.
Let's take a phone call. Evelyn in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Alonly Gri and Rula Daoud from the group Standing Together. Evelyn, hi. Do we have Evelyn in Manhattan?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, there you go.
Hello.
Hi, we have a terrible connection, so right to the point, we'll see how long we can take it.
Okay, given the circumstances and understanding the right of the students in the United States to voice their opposition in terms of any killing of indigenous people, and I understand your position in terms of your concern about the Palestinians, but before October 7th, there wasn't a lot of information, at least we were giving, of opposition or concern of Israeli citizens with the situation that was happening in West Bank or in Gaza in terms of how settlers were treating Palestinians historically and how the IDF, which some of you participate in the IDF, and the oppression of Palestinians. So I would like to get more information in terms of how Israeli citizens have been working in coalitions internally to address those issues beyond Netanyahu.
Thank you. Which one of you would like to take that?
I will take it, and it's a very good question because you're right, 100% right. There is a terrible reality. There is oppression against Palestinians much before the 7th of October. Yeah. For decades, Palestinians are living under military rule. Palestinians in Israel are living under extreme discrimination and sometimes oppression, police brutality, incarceration, and you know, a lot of measures that are put to just you know, make them at least Class B citizens, but much more than that. And we understand that this reality is a reality that is not something we can agree with. And this is why we organize. We organize both Jews and Palestinians against the settlers movement, against the occupation in the West Bank, against the blockade in Gaza much before October 7th, against any war or military operation that was in the last, you know, 2 decades. And we understand that it's not enough. We do understand that we're not big enough yet. Mm-hmm. We do understand that there are other forces in the Israeli society that are very active against Netanyahu personally, or they are, you know, they went to the streets and we went with them to demonstrate the judicial overhaul for 10 straight months. And not all the people there talked directly about the occupation, but we are there trying to convince people. We are there trying to grow. We are there trying to build power around the fight against the occupation and for Israeli-Palestinian peace. And we are trying to connect these struggles to make sure people understand that the same people from the settlers movement that are trying to pass the judicial overhaul in Israel and attack women's rights and LGBTQ rights and attack, you know, to narrow down the democratic freedoms in Israel, those are the people that are also building the settlements, also attacking Palestinians, and also trying to make the occupation bigger, deeper, and surviving. And this is something we're against, and we want to grow. We want to see our movement growing.
Derek in Princeton, you're on WNYC. Hello, Derek.
Oh, hi. I was wondering if there was a group of peaceful or peaceful-minded Palestinians who are working to disarm Hamas, given that there are probably Palestinians who don't want Hamas around.
When you say working to disarm, what do you mean? Through protest?
Oh, like working with the IDF, for example.
The same IDF that is oppressing them and not allowing any Palestinian in the West Bank to actually demonstrate because it's not legal for Palestinians to demonstrate? You mean this IDF?
Oh, I don't mean demonstrate. I mean there's still a war going on against Hamas, and is the war being aided by Palestinians who want peace?
The Palestinians are being killed by the IDF. I don't understand which IDF do you want the Palestinians to cooperate with.
Derek, thank you for your call. By way of further background, Rula, I see that the group's political grounding is in democratic socialism. Mm-hmm. I read your document called Standing Together's Theory of Change, and it says our movement's vision, socialism, democracy, solidarity, equality, justice, and end to the occupation, peace, and the establishment of a government that works for the good of all those who live here, unquote. Yeah. So can you elaborate on some of those connections. Are you arguing that the occupation and the excesses of capitalism are somehow linked, as opposed to the question of Palestinian rights being separate from what kind of economy Israel has?
Well, our idea of change, our theory of change, looks at different parts and communities that we have inside of Israel, and understand that all the citizens who live inside of the Israeli society or, and part of the Israeli society have shared interests to have basically equality. That is the most basic thing right now in Israel. And we believe as a movement, as a grassroots movement, the first step for that is to get equal rights for everybody living inside of the borders of Israel. And from connecting all of these issues together, we do understand that one of the main subjects we must face is the occupation of the West Bank and also the siege on Gaza. And we do understand that all of these are connected together. In order to get equal rights for everybody, we must live in a society and a country that sees everybody equally. And that means ending the military occupation, ending the military control over millions of lives of Palestinians, and then giving also equal rights to people living inside of the Israeli society. And we do believe that all of these issues are connected to one another, and we can't have real equality and freedom if we can't get all of them. And that is one of the main aspects of our theory of change. And we do understand that it takes a lot of work, but we also recognize and understand the intersectionality between all of these subjects when it comes to our lives in Israel-Palestine.
Yes. Although, Alon Lee, wasn't Israel originally founded largely with a socialist vision, the original kibbutz collectives, etc.? But that didn't stop those economic idealists from carrying out the Nakba, the expulsion of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from their home and from the country in 1948. So maybe socialism doesn't really protect Palestinians from what matters.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually, because there were a lot of socialist movements around the foundation of Israel, and Israel was founded as supposedly a socialist state. But then you look at the kibbutzes, and you see that there was only Jewish people living in them. So it was socialism only for Jews? That's a big question mark on it, right? Because socialism should create a society of prosperity and equality for everyone. And we are this kind of socialist, understanding that marginalized communities should get, you know, the rights to prosper and the rights to have economic and social equality and power. And I think that if you only look at your group of in the society and you say, I will only work to advance our rights, then you're not a socialist. And I think that Israel started more of a national project than a socialist project. And I think that if you want to see a correction in the Israeli society, mm-hmm. if you want to see a profound change, we need to understand that this change needs to work for the benefit of all the people, especially the Palestinian communities and the marginalized community in the Jewish, the Jewish majority in Israel. For example, there are a lot of new immigrants that are working as contract workers, that are, you know, earning just a minimum wage, people that have a lot of hardships, and we need to see them. We need to understand that those fights are connected to the deeper fight for equality in Israel and for a society that just works for all of us.
Before you go, and we're almost out of time, and at the very end, I'll invite you to say how listeners who want to participate with your group's coalition building work between Israeli Jews and Palestinians can get involved with you. I want to get your reaction to some breaking news. We started the show this morning with another guest talking about the two recent failed UN ceasefire resolutions, mm-hmm. the one from Algeria and the one last week from the United States. Well, now, just in the last few minutes, reading from NBC News here, the UN Security Council approved a new resolution today demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which ends April 9th, and the vote in the Security Council was 14-0, with the United States abstaining. So the United States let this ceasefire resolution go through, which it did not with the previous ceasefire resolution that the U.S. did not propose. Rula, my question is, does it matter what the UN Security Council does, or only what the negotiating parties, Israel and Hamas, do? Does this actually bring anybody closer to a ceasefire?
I think having a, first of all, having a ceasefire is something we have been calling on for months now. And a ceasefire that will give, you know, ability for both sides, for also the hostages to go come back home, but also to step to stop the killing and the starvation and the destruction in Gaza. And that is a very welcomed decision done today. But I think also when we look at this decision, we need to understand what will happen also after the ceasefire. It's not enough. We want a ceasefire, but it's not enough to just have a ceasefire. We need to understand what kind of steps will be taken after this this point to give both sides. You know, we do not want just a temporary ceasefire. We don't want just, you know, the destruction to stop for 1 month or 1 week or 2 months. We need temporary solutions. That is what we need, and that is what we demand also from both sides. And I think that is the one thing that should be now discussed, because our lives and our futures are intertwined. There is no way any one of us is going, you know, anywhere or anything to change if the reality and the politics and the politicians we have understand that we need permanent solutions that will give all of us the ability to live equally and in prosperity.
And by the way, a little more on this breaking news. The AP says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu immediately canceled a planned visit to Washington by a high-level delegation to protest the decision. I guess that means to protest the U.S.'s decision to let this ceasefire resolution go through. So we'll have more on that in the top of the hour newscast, but more distance between Netanyahu and Biden, as Biden did let this ceasefire resolution go through at the UN today. Alonly, just tell everybody, if they're interested in getting involved with your group of Israeli Jews and Palestinians working together for peace, how can they do so?
Yeah, if you support our vision of Israeli-Palestinian peace, if you support our demand to a ceasefire agreement to stop the killing and destruction in Gaza and to bring back the hostages, and if you support our work on the ground to bring Palestinians and Jews together, you should search in Google Standing Together Israel, Standing Together Jews and Palestinians, and you will come to our website in English. You can become a friend of Standing Together, which means a small monthly donation that can really go a long way in terms of helping us build more power in the Israeli society, to send more convoys of food and aid to Gaza, as we are trying to do, but the army is stopping us, to build the majority within our society to change, to change the direction from occupation and war, and to see peace and, you know, prosperity for both people. Yeah. I will just say that the decision of the U.S. not to veto the decision in the Security Council is dramatic. We support it. We met last week in the White House with the Security Council here, and we called to condition the aid to Israel right now and to stop giving a diplomatic umbrella to Israel to do whatever they want.
Rula Daoud and Alon Lee Green are national co-directors of Standing Together, which says they organize Jews and Arabs locally and nationally around campaigns for peace. Thank you so much for sharing your vision with us.
Thank you for having us.